Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Tech Guide, episode 85. Hello and welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenech, editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we'll kick off with news from the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, where a number of new smartphones, tablets and wearable devices have been unveiled. Also on the show, a look at a study that shows children are using smart devices unsupervised, and Telstra's new plans that offer customers a new smartphone every year. In the Tech Guide reviews, we'll check out the SanDisk dual USB drive and the new Microsoft OneDrive cloud storage solution. On this week's Tech Guide interview, we chat with a very special guest, actress Rose Leslie, star of the popular Game of Thrones series. And in this week's Tech Guide Help Desk, we'll talk about the next iPhone and increasing the ringing volume of your device. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to talk about on Tech Guide. Well, the Mobile World Congress has kicked off in Barcelona. That's the biggest trade show for mobile phones in the world. It's held every year at this time in the sunny city of Barcelona. It used to be held in Cannes back in the day, a few years ago. I actually attended the very last show in Cannes and also the first show in Barcelona. But the show this year, much excitement around all the new smartphone announcements. So all the major companies are taking the opportunity at Mobile World Congress to unveil their big ticket items, their tent pole products, their hero products that are going to be on sale and attracting a lot of interest in 2014. Well, Sony kicked off proceedings in Barcelona and announced a number of new products, including the follow-up to the very popular Xperia smartphone. We saw the Xperia Z1 in Barcelona. They've kicked off naturally with the Xperia Z2. It looks pretty similar to the Z1, the biggest difference being on the inside. The design is pretty much the same. It's got a slightly larger screen at 5.2 inches. Still got that great 20.7 megapixel camera, but there is where one of the difference lies. This the camera on the Z2 actually has the ability to capture 4K video. Now, that's a resolution of 3840 by 2160. Sony very active behind the whole adoption of 4K from the movie set all the way through to their televisions and projectors. 4K is top of mind for Sony. And now with the Z2, you can shoot on your smartphone video that can be shown in all its glory on one of their 4K TVs and on any ultra-high definition TV for that matter. The Z2 has a 2.3 gigahertz quad-core processor, 3 gig of RAM, 4G connectivity. It's also got noise cancellation. So when they're used with the included noise cancelling headset, can reduce ambient noise by up to 98%. Also launched by Sony was the Xperia Z2 tablet. Now you remember the Xperia Z tablet, that really thin and light and waterproof, I should add, tablet. The Z2 tablet is still waterproof. It's even thinner at 6.4 millimeters. So that makes it the thinnest, lightest, waterproof tablet in the world. Still got that 10.1 full HD tri-luminous screen. That's what I like about the Xperia products. They really take advantage of Sony's technology across the board in terms of displays, cameras, processors. They're really putting that all together in their products. also unveiled by Sony was the Xperia M2 smartphone. That's kind of a mid-level device with a 4.6-inch screen. But more interestingly, the other product was the Smart Band. This is one of the first wearable products that we've seen here at in Barcelona, and it is the Smart Band SWR10. Now, apart from it tracking your activities, which every other activity band, let's face it, that's what they're designed to do, what the Smart Band can offer is it can link with a new Android app called the Life Log. So you can actually capture daily events, and I'm talking about places you've visited, music you've listened to, games you've played, books you've read. So the Smart Band can actually help you enter that information into the app. So you can not only can count your steps, but also what you do that day. The Smart Band and all these other products are going to be released around March. Maybe even into April. Smart Band's available in a number of colours as well. But the other companies who are exhibiting at in Barcelona, and Nokia also had some products to announce on the opening day. They actually had a couple of surprises in their lineup, namely the Nokia X, X Plus, and XL. Now, what is surprising about these products? I hear you ask. Well, they are the very first devices by Nokia since their partnership with Microsoft to run the Android operating system. Now, they run a version of the Android operating system, an open version of the Android operating system, but still, it is a departure for Nokia, who, being in partnership with Microsoft, run Windows Phone on their Lumia devices across the board. Lumia devices are popular. It is, as Nokia says, the fastest growing smartphone platform, but I think this move by Nokia, the X, the X Plus, and XL, X and X Plus have 4-inch screens, XL has a 5-inch screen. This move, I think, is being seen as a way to tempt that lower-end, first smartphone buyer who wants to buy a device that's got a lot of apps to use. And I think this is a way for Nokia to really claim some of that ground. Not everyone wants to have a Windows phone running on their device, and Nokia have always created great devices. They've been great product manufacturers, high quality, great cameras, great screens, just good devices in general. The whole construction, the whole manufacturing, Nokia has always been very high quality devices they've produced. But the fact that now they can now offer Android, that is a significant step, I think. I've always said that Nokia, had they have offered Android devices from the get-go, I think they'd be in a stronger position than they are now. They'd be up, I think, still in the top five, maybe even the top three manufacturers in the world when you take into account the quality of their products and the popularity of Android. Android is actually the most popular operating system just for the sheer number of devices it runs on. iOS is still popular, but it only runs on one product, the iPhone and the iPad. But Android has now overtaken iOS in terms of just sheer numbers and popularity now. So I think Nokia has pulled the right rein here with the new X, X Plus, and XL range. And it wasn't just Nokia and Sony. Huawei also were one of the first cabs off the rank, actually. They had an early morning press conference in Barcelona, and they announced two new tablets, a smartphone, and another wearable device, the TalkBand. Let's go through their products really quickly. The MediaPad X1 is what they call their phablet. So it's got a 7-inch screen, part phone, part tablet. It's just 7.19 millimeters thick, which is pretty extraordinary. Only weighs in at 239 grams and really taking advantage of that market that is appreciating that larger screen size. They don't want to carry a tablet and a smartphone. They want to carry one device. That device, the X1, has also got a 13-megapixel rear camera running Android 4.2. They did release another tablet, the MediaPad M1. Now, this is a true tablet, so it's not a phablet. It's actually a tablet, not designed to be used as a smartphone as well. This has an 8-inch IPS in-plane switching screen with a resolution of 1200 by 800, powered by a 1.6 gigahertz quad-core processor. It, too, is very thin, 7.9 millimeters, weighs in at 329 grams. That also has 4G connectivity, as does the X1. The TalkBand B1, though, this is part activity tracker, part smartwatch. So not only can it track your steps, it can also give you alerts on your phone, make calls. It can also pair up with Android and an iPhone. So if you're running Android 2.3 and higher, iPhone iOS 5 and higher, you can actually answer your calls using this device, because it's got a built-in Bluetooth headset, small earpiece weighing just 9.4 grams, sits securely inside the band, so you can use it to answer your phones. Huawei's latest last product was the Ascend G6 smartphone. This has a brand new Emotion user interface. It's quite thin too, 7.85 millimeters. It's got a 4.5 inch QHD screen and a 5 megapixel front facing camera. So your selfies, if you're a selfie taker, you're going to have pretty decent quality pictures with that 5 megapixel front facing camera. It's also got an 8 megapixel rear facing camera for you taking your regular photographs. The Huawei products will be released in the next month or so, but if you want to read more about any of those devices, Sony's, Nokia's, Huawei's. We're expecting some announcements from Samsung. We're recording this on a Monday night. Samsung have some events planned for Tuesday. So tune in to maybe Two Blokes Talking Tech, my other podcast, and next week's edition of Tech Guide to hear more about that. But Sony, Nokia, and Huawei, and the Samsung announcement, when it is made, will all be available for you to check out at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, some alarming survey results uncovered by Kensington. Now, Kensington is the company who create smartphone cases and actually, more importantly, iPad and tablet cases. And their survey, which is actually run on the Bubhub website, showed that most children are using smart devices to access the web and social media sites and content without supervision. The survey revealed that 99% of parents allow their kids to use their smartphones or tablets. So when they are using it, 55% of parents aren't actually supervising their children to see what sort of content they're looking at. So back before the tablets and smartphones were at the height of their popularity, the only way kids could access the internet was on a computer. Now, where was that computer in the home? It was in a central place so that the parents could supervise what their children are looking at. Well, what appears to have happened is now with the convenience and the ease of connection with smartphones and tablets, most parents seem to be turning a little bit of a blind eye, and not on purpose. They're just assuming their child is going to look at, they want to surf the web, play a game, not knowing that there's the potential for them there, not that they are accessing this content, but it is possible for them to do it, and 55% of parents aren't even checking what their kids are looking at. So a little bit of a worry. When back in the computer days, let's call them, when kids were accessing the internet at home, there used to be, apart from the supervision, there were also software you could buy, so like NetNanny and these other parental control applications, so that it can keep the inappropriate content from our children's from our children finding them. So, but now with these with the smart devices, tablets and smartphones, a lot of this content they're accessing, we don't know what it is. 55% of parents don't know what they're accessing. Now, another interesting stat from this survey was the fact that because parents are handing off their devices to their kids, often young kids, what they're seeing, though, is that there's causing a bit of damage. Kids sometimes drop them, damage them, or even break them. And 44% of those surveyed said that the damage has cost between $200 and $1,000. So that's quite a bit of damage. That's where sort of Kensington comes into the equation here, where they're encouraging people to use cases that protect the screen and the corners of the devices, so that in the event that there is a device that may be dropped by your child, the chances of it breaking when it's in a case are reduced, because there's that added protection for that corner, the corners, and that delicate screen. Full stats of that story about that survey. Some alarming stats there. If you're a parent, maybe worth reading just to see what your kids are accessing on your device. If you are handing it off, best to keep an eye on what they are doing. There are applications that can actually allow you to control what they look at. They're built into the iPhone and can also be controlled on Android devices as well. You want to read more about those stats, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, many people who start or that are on a smartphone contract, generally it's a two-year contract and you have to sign up on the first day, you pick your device, and generally you're stuck with that device for the full two-year term of the contract. But in this day and age where smartphones are being released every month and everyone is eager to get their hands on the latest product, we are changing smartphones a little bit more often. Now, those who aren't on a contract have that luxury where they can buy their own handset, buy a SIM-only plan, change their handset whenever they want. They may see a new device, maybe hand off their old one, sell the old one to upgrade to the new one. But what do you do if you're on a plan? That's really hard to do because you're locked into a two-year contract. Well, Telstra have come up with a solution that allows customers to upgrade their phones after 12 months, even if they are on a two-year contract. Customers have long wanted to have this upgrade. In fact, 46% of Australians said they would love their telco to offer the latest smartphone halfway through the plan rather than having to wait the full 2 years. Telstra are allowing this on their plans, and the only thing they need to do, Telstra customers who want that option of upgrading after 12 months, some people might not want it, other people may. If you do want that option to upgrade after a year, you just need to add $10 a month to your plan and return your existing smartphone in good working order. So it's not like you get to keep the old smartphone. You're trading in your older smartphone to get the new one, but it's still costing you $10 a month. But this is still of interest to a lot of people because we want the latest and greatest. Apple releases a new iPhone every year, not every 2 years. Android devices are coming out once a month. So many companies are releasing new products that this is an option I think that's going to be popular with a lot of customers. So all you need to do, add that extra $10 a month and trade in your old phone. So you need to keep it in good condition. No point beating it up and kicking around and dropping it on the driveway, things like that. You need to put a case on it, keep it in good nick, and then you'll get a decent trade-in. You'll be allowed to trade up to the very latest product. You want to read more about that story? You can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand for home Wi-Fi products. Well, the Netgear Nighthawk is here. The AC1900 smart Wi-Fi router can take your Wi-Fi to the next level. You can get the fastest Wi-Fi currently available with the Netgear R7000 Nighthawk smart Wi-Fi router. Built with gaming, streaming, and mobile devices in mind, this next generation gigabit Wi-Fi router has a 1 gigabit dual core processor and delivers the ultimate in Wi-Fi speed and range, so you can enjoy lag-free gaming or video streaming with less buffering around your home. The Netgear Nighthawk is packed with advanced features, from prioritizing gaming, music, and video streaming to automatic backup using ReadyShare Vault for PCs and Macs with Apple Time Machine. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk R7000 smart Wi-Fi router and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Finney. Tech Guide.
All right, we're going to kick off the Tech Guide reviews this week with a product from SanDisk. SanDisk is a very popular company when it comes to flash memory, memory cards, micro SD cards, SD cards. You name the memory and they make it. The latest product, though, is the dual USB drive. Now, dual meaning there are two USB ports on this product. Reason for that is that you can use it on a computer and on a smartphone with a micro USB, which is generally all Android devices, and it's got a regular USB connection, so you can connect it to your computer as well. So one end has the USB connection for your computer. So say, for example, you want to get some content from your computer onto your smartphone. Rather than having to email and get stuff from the cloud and wirelessly sync the products, you can simply drag and drop it onto the USB, push the cap to the other side so that the micro USB is exposed, and then you can connect that to your smartphone and upload the files that you need. Or working the other way, you may want to get some files off your smartphone to share it with someone else's smartphone or someone else's computer, and this can do that as well. So you simply download the SanDisk companion app that works with this device, and it allows you then to download whatever content you want to and share it just as easily. So this is a very very handy way for you to share your content. You may want to even supplement your content. Say, for example, you have an Android device with a limited amount of memory. It may not have a micro USB slot, a micro SD card slot, I should say. And you want to add some more memory. Even if it doesn't have a micro SD card slot, this adds even more memory to the solution as well. It's available in 16, 32, and 64 gig versions. So you may want to carry around a heap of content. Say, for example, a favorite TV series, movies, whatever you want to carry on the micro, the dual USB drive, you can then just plug that straight into your smartphone and stream it off the drive. So you don't actually have to drag it onto your device. You can actually stream it from the drive itself. Same thing goes for your computer. You can stream it off that as well if you want to connect it to your laptop. Say you're going on a flight, you can watch some of it on your laptop, or you maybe just want to watch it on your smartphone. The dual USB drive allows you to do that. It is available now. Available, as I mentioned, in 16, 32, and 64 gig capacities. Starts at $50 for the 16 gig, all the way up to $100 for the 64 gig. You can see a picture. And the other SanDisk product, the Extreme Pro USB 3 flash drive, which is a little bit more expensive. You can view both of those products at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Now, while on the subject of storage and drives, there is another drive we should talk about. It's from Microsoft. It's called OneDrive. Now, this product, let's call it, it's actually more a service where you can have this cloud storage solution. It was formerly called SkyDrive, but only last week it was renamed OneDrive, offered to more countries around the world. So it was a worldwide relaunch, let's call it. And it's free online storage. You can get for free 7 gigabytes of storage. So even though it's a Microsoft product, you can still use it on a Mac, on an iPhone, on an Android device, and of course on a Windows phone device. So you can download apps that can access these cloud storage. So the advantage of having that is you've got this 7 gig of space. You may want to save documents, photos, videos up there, and then you can access that content without it taking up room on your devices. You can stream that content to your smartphone, tablet, laptop, whether it's iPhone, whether it's a Mac, whether it's a PC, it allows you to access it. If you want more than 7 gigabytes, you can actually opt for larger capacity. So you can buy in increments of 50, 100, and 200 gigabytes. So you may want a lot more storage and that there's a yearly cost involved. But for free, you get 7 gigabytes, which is pretty generous. There are other offers that if you take out, I think Nokia's new phones from Mobile World Congress, if you are a Nokia customer, I think you get an extra 3. So you get 10 gigabytes of SkyDrive, or should say OneDrive storage as well. A very handy solution. And as I mentioned, it is free. So if you want to check that out, you can see how to do that. There's some links there on techguide.com.au. OneDrive, a very easy way to access your content on any one of your devices.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide interview today was a fun interview, I have to say, with a very special guest, Rose Leslie. Now, Rose Leslie's an actress that's been seen on shows like Downton Abbey, but more recently, she's the star of Game of Thrones. She was in Australia to talk about the Blu-ray and DVD release of Season 3. Her character is Ygritte. She's a wildling north of the Wall. For those who aren't familiar with the show, I'm sure there are plenty of people who have seen the show and plenty of fans of the books as well. But we sat down with Rose Leslie at the Hilton to talk about her role on the show, some of the things that she got up to, some of the injuries. She's got some funny stories to tell from the set, and this is what she had to say earlier. Well, Rose, thanks for joining me, star of Game of Thrones. What a pleasure it is to meet you. How are you enjoying Australia?
Oh, I'm loving Australia at the moment. Thank you very much. I mean, it's wonderful to be here in Sydney. It is my first time in the country, so I'm very much looking forward to...
Is it what you expected? Is Australia... didn't expect kangaroos in the streets or anything like that?
No. Do you know what? I had read up on the city before, so I was aware that there weren't going to be any kangaroos hoffing about. But no, it is exactly what I expected. But it's just so warm. I can't get over the novelty of stepping outside, you know, onto the streets with no sleeves.
Oh,
it's
great. That's a nice change for you then.
Yes.
And have you been recognised in the streets? Do people know who you are? Do they recognise you from Game of Thrones?
They do. Yes. Wow. Yes, they do. Which, you know, I think is an accolade to the show and how globally adored it is.
Does it freak you out occasionally that people know who you are?
And... Do you know what? Not really. And still, you know, touch wood, I've been very fortunate the fans of the show have always been so passionate and enthusiastic about the series that it's always been a lovely thing to, you know, to talk and chat about.
I suppose they call you in Greek that day, they call you Rose, yes. They call you by your character's name.
Yes, yes.
Something you've got to get used to, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And were you a fan of the books already, or were they something you went into later?
They were something that I went into later, actually. Once I realised that I was fortunate enough to play the part, I kind of like threw myself into the books and I just divulged and read like all four, or the first four in a row, and immersed myself into that world and did as much research as I could before I started.
So you discovered a fair bit about your character before you even played her, I guess.
Yes, I did. Okay. I did indeed.
And
yeah.
how do you differ from your character? In real life, people are meeting you for the first time and think, that's Ygritte from Game of Thrones. And how is she compared to you?
Well, firstly, I think it's the voice that throws them a little bit, just because I put on a northern dialect to be Ygritte. But certainly, you know, I love to think I have some of her attributes in the sense that she is feisty and, you know, she's a strong, powerful woman. And, you know, I like to think I don't take so much crap as she does, but I want to be slightly more like her. I wish I were, okay. But I'm not, sadly.
And it's quite a physical role too, isn't it? So was there some preparation on your part? You look pretty athletic already. Was this something you had to prepare for?
Most definitely. And, you know, I was very keen to make sure that certainly with the bow and arrow and with archery that it looked as authentic and real as possible. And I wanted to make sure that it was believable that this was, you know, north of the wall or Iceland, as it were, you know, was her terrain. And she knew it very well. And this is, you know, where she'd been brought up. And as a result, obviously, because of her harsh surroundings, she was going to be you know, very tough and physical and a hunter.
Okay.
Really.
And you did practice with the bow and arrow.
I did,
right?
I did, yeah. So I got some training with archery and I did it you know, several hours a day for a while and just really, you know, try to perfect the art.
So will you be representing at the next Olympics then? Or how well did you go?
I wish. Ygritte is a lot better at getting her targets than I am. But yes, thank heavens for CGI.
Ah, okay. But it, as I mentioned, it is a pretty physical role, and you know, yes, you're bouncing off the wall and, you know, escaping and running and being held captive and things like that.
Absolutely.
You get injured on the set? Did you get hurt at all?
Do you know, I didn't. So I was very fortunate. But you know, there was, you know, in Iceland, obviously with it being rather treacherous and with the ice and you know, being on glaciers and lots of snow and rocks, I fell over a couple of times and, you know, made a complete arse out of myself by just sliding. And there was this one scene whereby we were shooting on a lake, on a frozen lake, and it was the most beautiful backdrop I've ever seen in my life. And it was like, you know, I felt so lucky to be there. And you know, when you're on the ice and you run up and then you slide, uh-huh, and then you just skid for maybe about a metre or two. Well, I was just showing off in front of the crew. And quite rightly, as a result, I just fell flat on my arse and did a whole kind of like 180, which I deserved. I mean, I had it coming. So other than that, no.
And this role is quite a departure from... I first saw you in Downton Abbey.
Oh, right.
Which I'm a big fan of too, so congratulations on that as well.
Oh, thank you.
How has this been... It's quite a shift, isn't it, from the all the proper and being in
yes,
the part of Downton Abbey to now being a wildling and...
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's wonderful to be able, you know, as an actor, to be able to have that challenge and to show versatility in that way. And it's great to have been, you know, working in London and then being able to go to Iceland for a job.
Okay,
lovely.
Cool. So with season four, season four is about to start here.
Yes.
But season three is out on Blu-ray as well. Are you a Blu-ray fan? Are you sort of the person who dives into the special features and all that? Are you that sort of fan?
Yes, I would say that I am. I do like to watch behind the scene footage and you know, to get a real grasp of what it is like on that particular set, and I do enjoy it. But with regards to kind of like the DVD or Blu-ray with quality, because isn't there
Blu-ray's better quality than DVD?
Well, there you go.
Yes.
There you go. That's why I'm more of a Blu-ray fan.
Yeah. can you really comprehend or understand the popularity of the show? It's we mentioned before you get stopped on the street, but there is such a deep love for this show.
Mm.
Do you feel that on the set when you perform? You think this is going to be
this is going to be the best thing ever. Can you sense that when you're making it?
Do you know what? I personally don't, and I feel that is a bit of a blessing, just because I think if you were, whilst you were on set, trying to do the best possible job you can do, if you start going off on a tangent like that in your head, then I think you're never going to be able to, to really channel in on the character and even the lines or the scene. So I try to think of that as little as possible. But it's a wonderful convention such as Comic-Con that I've been fortunate enough to go to for the last couple of years. And,
That must have been an experience.
Oh, my God, it was mind-blowing. It was mind-blowing. And being in that huge hall with, a good 1,000, about 6,000 people for a Q&A session was just extraordinary. And, and it was just wonderful. And only then do you really grasp just how popular the show is.
Absolutely. Well, the show is popular. It's also quite violent.
Yes.
I try to sit down. My kids are fans of this show. They're teenagers, but I'm thinking they're watching this violence and it's a bit of nudity involved as well.
Indeed.
And that actually you actually had to take off the clothes last year. Was that a confronting thing for you? Did you just own it? Or how do you deal with something like that?
I felt that certainly approaching the cave scene and seeing it from the character's point of view, I felt that within the series as a whole, that cave scene was, for the first time ever in my mind, it was a very loving scene, and it was wonderful to see the two characters finally show their feelings, and even though it wasn't, I didn't feel that it was gratuitous in any way. I felt that this was a lovely, they were in their little bubble, they were in their world, both of them wanted this to happen. There was no power play going on whatsoever, which is something that you don't see when you're watching the scenes of Littlefinger in his brothel. That is all very sexual politics going on. Sure. Whereas in this cave scene, it was these two young people finally getting together.
Yeah. And have your parents watched it? Are you uncomfortable with knowing that maybe your parents have seen this, or your relatives? Or
I can't even tell you. Like, both mum and dad were like, tell me the episode. I'm not even going to watch any of that episode. I'm not even going to turn it off when we know that you're going into the cave. I'm just not going to watch the episode. And so I made sure that mum and dad were aware when not to turn on the TV. And of course, they didn't bloody want to see it either. So yes.
Well, we're about to review season 4 here, and you're obviously involved with that as well.
Yes.
Can you give us any tips? What's going to happen? We've seen nothing yet. Please tell us that.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but what I can say is that it's going to be a very treacherous, dangerous season. In the aftermath of the Red Wedding, there are many characters out there for vengeance.
The Red
Wedding,
there's
going to be a lot of action, a lot of bloodshed. So it's it's going to be absolutely exhilarating.
Yeah. Can you believe the reaction that the Red Wedding has had? That people post it. I've never seen more posts on Facebook and Twitter about the reaction to a TV show than that episode.
Yes, yes, wasn't it extraordinary?
Yes.
It was amazing. And, those performances were nothing short of phenomenal. I thought that it was absolutely, it was beautifully done, beautifully shot. And, oh my God, I mean, even though I knew it was coming, even though I knew this was like the impending doom, and EP9, the penultimate EP episode is the one to look out for, I was still kind of like, with my hands over my face and being like, oh my God, I'm so sad. Because it was, I was tearing up.
Yeah, well, you must form quite a tight relationship with all your fellow actors. I know you're all in different parts of the world shooting your scene, so you're quite a tight-knit group of people.
We are, and we all feel incredibly fortunate. I mean, I know I'm speaking for the entire cast right now, but we do feel incredibly fortunate to be a part of a show like this, whereby the magnitude and the quality is so high, and it's just the directors involved and the writers and the creators, they are geniuses in their own right, and it's brilliant to be part of it.
Well, I can't wait to see it on Blu-ray. I'm going to devour it once again.
Good.
I just want to ask you some, because I'm a tech writer, so I want to ask you some tech questions if I can.
Of course.
Are you a big tech user?
I'm really not.
No?
Sadly. Okay. Sadly not, no.
So you're kind of true to Ingrid, sort of the not using much
yes,
tech.
Yes, a dinosaur.
But you should. Are you a iPhone or Android? Or?
I am iPhone.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you Mac or Windows?
I am Mac.
Mac. Okay. There's a theme here.
There's a bit of an Apple theme going on.
Okay. What about some favourite apps? What are some apps you like using?
I love the Fruit Ninja.
Yes.
That's my favourite app.
By the way, Australian made.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is Australian.
Congratulations
developed.
To whoever.
Brisbane developer created that.
Yep. I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
I'm sure they're going to be happy to hear that. That you're a fan of their work.
That's great.
What else do I love? I think Snapchat is brilliant.
Uh-huh. So you're big on social media? Do you like social media?
I do like social media. I don't actually have a Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. So in that way, I'm not great on social media. But, you know, with WhatsApp, it's always quite fun.
WhatsApp? Are you on Instagram? Are you an Instagram fan? No?
Well, I am a fan, but I don't actually have my own account.
Okay. You better start. There'll be a lot of people who would be following you for sure. Rose, really appreciate your time today, and welcome to Australia. Enjoy your time here.
Thank you very much. It's been lovely to meet you. Thank you.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, our Tech Guide Help Desk is going to be more about smartphones today. It's a very smartphone-themed show this week. But one question I was asked, a reader said they're on the end of their iPhone 4S contract and wanted to know when the iPhone 6 comes out. Well, if they follow their same product cycle, we won't see the iPhone 6 or 6S or 6C, whatever the hell it's going to be called, until around September, October. That's when the new iPhone is going to hit. The other question I had, there was a woman ringing up on behalf of her husband who works he works in a workshop, a large area, and has trouble hearing his mobile phone when it's ringing. Now, there are ways to increase your volume on your device. Within the settings, there's a way to set maximum ring volumes, whether you're using an iPhone or an Android device. But as simple as this, as simple as it may be, people inadvertently turn down the volume of their ringer. On an iPhone, you can just turn up, hit the plus button on the side of the iPhone and make sure that the ringer is at full volume. You'll be surprised that that volume can sometimes come down and you can maybe not hear your calls. Some people accidentally put their phone on silent and, of course, you're not going to hear your calls then either. Another issue that we found with people is that they find it very hard to hear the person at the other end. All you need to do during your call, you can't do this outside of a call, during your call, if it is faint, you can actually press the volume up button and that increases the call volume so that a lot of people are surprised to think, wow, my volume was turned right down. That's why I couldn't hear the people when they were talking to me. They simply press the plus button until it's loud enough for them to be satisfied they can hear the person at the other end. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's our show for another week. Time really flies. Be sure to head over to techguide.com.au if you want to read more about what we've talked about on the show. You can also get in touch by email. Simply hit info@techguide.com.au. Send me your questions. Send me your comments. We'd love to hear from you. A special thanks, too, to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you company. We look forward to you tuning in once again next week. So until then, as we always say, here, stay safe and stay connected.